Please stand for the reading of God's word. We turn to James and 2 Corinthians, and I remind you, this is the eternally true and trustworthy, infallible word of the living God. He speaks to us this morning. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me, please. Holy Father, I ask now for the present help and power of your Holy Spirit to help us attend to your word, to you, to who you are and what you have done and are doing. Lord, glorify yourself in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. In my announcements, I neglected to mention to ask prayer for Larry Stapp. He's having hip surgery on Tuesday, so keep Larry in prayer as well. And I may not have been clear. It would be a help to us to know what events of the Bailey Weekend you're planning to be a part of, so we can plan appropriately, especially for the men's breakfast. So hope to hear from you. I don't know if this is a thing around here or not, but I'll ask you girls, you glow girls, is there a thing called opposite day? Have any of you ever done, does anybody ever know of opposite day? Did you do that as kids?
Saw it in a movie one time.
Well, okay, maybe it didn't make its way up here. I'm told that January 25th is opposite day, where you say things that are opposite, like, you know, I hate ice cream, or I hate chocolate, or if you come up to somebody to greet them, you say goodbye, and maybe you wear your shirt backwards and things like that. Okay, not a thing around here. Well, it made me think, what got me thinking about that was, reading the Bible sometimes sounds like God plays opposite day. He likes to turn things upside down and backwards. You know, like the meek will inherit the earth and not the powerful. And whoever wants to be a leader must be a servant. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. And God chose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith, and those who are rich are often poor toward God. So it seems like our God is this upside down God who rules over this upside down kingdom. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about tomorrow. To not have doubts and fears and that sort of thing. And that's the opposite of what the world does and what the world, how it acts. And actually the opposite of how many of us do our lives. Think about the things that you think about most. Think about what you worry about or what you're afraid of. Will God answer? Will God provide? Will God come through? Where is he? What is he doing? Well, these are all questions that are addressed by this phrase, rich in faith. And as you heard, this comes from what the Glow Girls were studying this year in the book of James. And this was one of the themes, one of their lessons. And it seemed especially helpful and applicable for us today. To be a Christian is to live by faith. Without faith, Scripture says, it's impossible to please God. And in Romans 14, 23, we read, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. In other words, everything we do should come from a heart that loves and trusts God and relies on His love and His forgiveness and His wisdom and His power. Total trust, total dependence. All that we do is to be done from faith, by faith. So let's talk about this faith and about being rich in faith. And what is that all about? Let's start with some definitions. What is rich? What does rich mean? Rich just means having lots of, an abundance of. Having lots of whatever, money or possessions or friends or grandkids or love or whatever it is you might have lots of. You're rich. Now the world, again, opposite, says to be rich in money, to be rich in wealth, in success and accomplishments or popularity or talent or influence, whatever it might be. And God says the opposite, to be rich in faith, in hope, in trust, in dependence on God. Let's take the word faith. What does that mean? What does the word faith mean? Now, faith can mean belief. It can be conviction or trust in something or someone. Usually something that's not tangible, that there isn't evidence of it. And again, this is the opposite of the world. How the world is and how we want to live. Most of us would really rather walk by sight than by faith. We want tangible. We want touchable. We want to see it now. We want to have hope without having to have hope. But God says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Another translation puts it this way. Faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. So faith is as if we're taking possession now of a thing unseen that is yet to come. Faith believes God will keep His promises, even when we can't see the outcome. Faith is the difference between believing in God and believing God. Faith is the bridge between those, between the knowledge and the belief. Believing in God is kind of a mental assent. It's having knowledge of. And in the book of James, the demons believe in God. They can't deny that He exists. They have to say, yes, He's real. Believing God means confident trust. It means total buy-in. It means relationship. It means faith sees the hand of God in all things. So let's put these together. Rich in faith. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be rich in faith? What does that look like? Well, having lots of faith, right? Having a deep trust, having a strong belief and a strong dependence. Now, this isn't about quantity of belief. It's not like you can have 10 pounds or 10 gallons of faith. It's about the quality of our trust in God. It's having a heart that rests on God's promises despite the circumstances. It's confident reliance on God's character rather than whatever the current circumstances in our lives are. It means trusting more in the God you can't see than in the things of this world that we can see. It means striving to walk and live by faith, not by sight. So to be rich in faith is to have this kind of a relationship. And it's a relationship that changes what you do. It changes who you are. But believing in God is like believing your house is on fire. It leads to action. You do something. It moves you. To be rich in faith means valuing Christ more than you value the things of this world. We are rich in faith when we see that having Christ means everything and is everything, and it's more than enough. Paul writes of this in Philippians 4 in verse 11 and following. He says, I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, James adds to this being rich in faith also means being heirs of the kingdom, to having an eternal inheritance. Now, girls here, and you glow girls, let me ask you, do you think you're rich or poor? As you think about that, yeah, are you rich or are you poor? Now, maybe you start thinking about somebody that you know who, well, you look at their life and, you know, they got a really nice house or nice clothes or nice toys or they go on nice vacations. And you think, well, compared to them, maybe I'm not so rich. Is it possible to have none of those things and be rich? Okay, maybe. If you've noticed, we have some older people in our church. And you would say that probably they're really old, but you probably shouldn't say it out loud. But as we get older, we start to lose things that we used to have. Our jobs, our houses, our cars, maybe a husband or a wife. Maybe our kids or grandkids move away. We start to lose our health, our strength. After a while, if you think about it, it can start to look like they've lost just about everything. I was talking with an older woman not too long ago. She doesn't live in the house that she lived in for a long time anymore. And she can no longer drive. She doesn't have her car anymore. She lost her husband. Her kids don't live near her or her grandkids. She has very few possessions, just a few things in a couple of rooms. And her health has declined. And so I ask you, is she poor? Does that look like she's poor? She told me that she is looking forward to heaven, to be with Jesus and to be with her husband. And she has a confident faith that the richest inheritance is hers in heaven. She's lost just about everything on this earth that we say makes a person rich, but she doesn't feel poor. She is rich in faith. Someone has said, rich in faith is trusting Christ so deeply that losing everything else doesn't make you poor. You can have nothing in this world and yet be rich. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 6 that says, Paul is talking about this kind of experience that he's having. And he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. Think about what makes us truly rich in this world and in the world to come. That other verse that I read from 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake, Jesus became poor, gave up everything that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And here's the riches. Salvation, forgiveness, being justified with God, reconciled with our Father, having our sin taken away, being adopted by God by his Spirit of adoption so that we can be his beloved children and have the Spirit in us and the Spirit's peace and joy and love. And we have this confident hope of eternal life, of a future glory. We have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for us. Incredible riches. Now, what would you say about yourself? Are you rich in faith or poor in faith? Would you say that you have little faith or great faith? Where would you put yourself in that? Do you want more faith? Or are you kind of, I'm good? How can a weak faith become strong? How can little faith become great? Can you think about an area in your life where you're struggling? Where you're wrestling, having a hard time trusting God. You're anxious. Is your faith wavering in some circumstance or situation? Where do you need this richer faith, this deeper faith? Well, God didn't choose us because we were rich in faith. That wasn't it at all. He chose us that we would become rich in faith. And how do you become richer in faith? Well, let me offer a bunch of ways. Take these to heart, right? Write them down. Put them into practice. How can we become richer in faith? Well, first, by fixing our eyes on the object of our faith, by fixing our eyes on Jesus, not by looking inside, trying to navel gaze or analyze your faith, what it is. No, by looking up. Hebrews 12:2, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Or 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. To the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And Colossians 3, in verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. So, if you want to be richer, deeper in faith, fix your eyes on the object of your faith. Second, you become richer in faith by hearing and receiving and believing the word of God, by reading and listening to God's promises. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Listen, receive, hear it. Third, we can become richer in faith by praying and asking God to give us more faith and more trust. I think of the man in Mark 9:24. He prayed a prayer I pray. I believe, help my unbelief. And in the verse that we're memorizing for this month that we had last week in our text in Romans 15:13, a prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Pray. There's another way for making our faith richer. And this is maybe my favorite. I use it a lot. By remembering and recounting God's past faithfulness to strengthen our confidence in his trustworthiness now. Recalling those times when God's hand of help was especially evident, that strengthens your faith for the present and for the future. This is one of the blessings of being older, is you have more evidence. You have more you can recount. You have more ways in which you've seen the hand of God. The writer of Hebrews says, recall the former days. And the psalmist in Psalm 77, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. We can trust God for the future based on what he has done in the past and what we have seen. God is trustworthy. He's faithful to his promises. In the future as he was in the past. Yet another way to become richer in faith is by practicing thanksgiving, by practicing gratitude that reinforces our awareness of God's hand all around us, all the time. Another way, by regular fellowship with other believers who encourage and strengthen our faith. Romans chapter 1, at the very beginning of Romans, Paul's writing and he says, I long to see you that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. beautiful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he commends them, saying, I therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as fact as you're doing. And then a final way, by this is not our favorite, by testing and by trials. Don't despise God's discipline. He's treating you as children. He tests us by fire. God refines us by taking away the things that we trust in, so we'll depend more on Him. Faith looks at trials, looks at troubles, and it reinterprets them the opposite way from the way the world does. It looks at those difficulties and reinterprets them as God's proof of our sonship, that we are loved by Him, and that He is using those things to make our faith richer and deeper. We all know that passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's so powerful and so true, that we have been grieved by various trials so that the tested genuineness of our faith, which is more precious than gold, which perishes by fire, so that the tested genuineness of our faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible as you are obtaining the outcome of your faith. As Christians in whom God is growing deeper and richer faith, we're going to suffer. It doesn't matter how smart you are, or how strong you are, or how rich or good you are, you're going to suffer. God will knock the props of our self-reliance out from under us so that we trust Him and put our faith in Him. So the only question is not whether or not you will suffer. You will. The question is, how will you suffer? Will it be with a quiet, trusting confidence that this is from the hand of the loving God who makes my faith richer and is preparing for me an inheritance? He's loosening our grip on the comforts and the pleasures and the delights, and the things of this life, the ease, those things that make us forget God. We will never see how strong and good God is until we see how weak we are. So when you see walkers and wheelchairs and canes and glasses and hearing aids and slow moving bodies, just remember, these are all signs. God is giving us a richer faith in Him, and He's getting us ready for the riches of His inheritance that He's kept for us in heaven. Let's acknowledge our weak faith, and that we stumble, we have trouble, and let us trust our faithful, loving Father who knows what He's doing and who picks us up and carries us home. So what do you wish you had more of? And think about, why do you wish that? Do you think it will make you happier or a better person? Do you wish you had more friends or more popularity or were smarter or better looking or had more money or a better house or more success or an easier life or fewer problems or better health? A myriad of things that we wish for. What if God isn't giving us those things because He wants us to trust Him more and to depend on Him more? Now, it's true, we all want to be rich. We all want to have more of what we have. But if you want to be rich, why not want to be rich in something that will do you good all the days of your life? Why not be rich in something that you can't lose? It can't be taken from you. Why not want to be rich in something that you actually can take with you when you die? Why not want to be rich in faith? As James said, Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, we are poor and needy, and we thank you that you delight to glorify your power and your strength and your wisdom in supplying what we need. So it is my prayer, Lord, that you will turn these words into action, even as the girls spoke of about taking a recipe. Lord, that you will turn this into fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.